This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On News World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday, and I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to News World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We'll talk about how transparent Gavin Newsom is here in just a moment. Touch on the Democrats and the language they use. We'll talk about how embedded these people are all throughout the government. All that, emails, and so much more on the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. So Gavin Newsom keeps running to the camera during all these LA riots talking about getting arrested. Remember, it was the other day Gavin Newsom ran to the television set and he said, hey, Tom Homan, come get me, tough guy. Come try to arrest me. He keeps saying things like this. Can't help himself. Said it again.
And this is why I told the president, just get it over with. Arrest me. Move on. If you need some head to scalp, do it with me. But stop messing with these kids. Stop.
I know it's an obvious point. It's so obvious I almost didn't even talk about it. But I figure it's worth you and I at least having a discussion. You know what he's doing, right? You know what he's doing. He's trying to become the Democrat nominee for president. And this is the thing about politicians. You are always, in one way or another, you are always being guided by the people who elect you, by the people who will choose you or someone else. For instance, let's make it about our side, for instance, on the right. On the right, there are some basic check marks you really have to hit if you want to run as a Republican. And if you don't achieve some basic check marks, you will probably be disqualified. And you'll be disqualified because the number of people in the Republican Party who vote Republican, who will demand one of those check marks, is so high, if you lose their vote, you probably can't move on. Trump is actually a great example of this, and is a great example of somebody who realizes this. This may sound insulting. It's really not meant to be. It's just pointing something out. Guns is a great example on the right. We have some Republicans who go along with some gun control, sadly. But if you're a Republican, if you ever want to be the Republican nominee for state Senate or Congress or president or anything else, you can't be a gun grabber. You can't be anti-gun. You cannot be. Now, Donald Trump's background is not guns at all. He was famously, it's not news, he was a Democrat, a registered New York Democrat for the longest time. But that aside, guns are not what he did. It's never been his interest. I don't know that there's a picture of Donald Trump even holding a gun. It's just not who he is. He doesn't care for guns at all. And in fact, if you could hook him up to a lie detector test, you'd probably find out that he kind of wishes there were fewer guns out there. I'm just guessing, but it doesn't matter. Beside the point. But Donald Trump also understood if I am going to be the Republican nominee for president, I can't come out and trash guns or else it won't happen. Same thing. Look, we'll stick with Trump before we get back to Newsom. Same thing when it comes to evangelical Christianity, or I guess I said evangelical, all the different forms of Christianity in the country, all of it, whether it be Baptists or Protestants or Episcopalians or Catholics or Mormons or whatever, all the different versions of that. Now, in order to be the Republican nominee, it's not that you have to be one, not at all, but you have to be real friendly with them. They have to think, at least, that you're not an enemy of them. Trump, who traditionally, I don't know where he is now, it sounds like maybe he's changed his thinking, but traditionally he was not and never claimed to be. Remember, they used to ask Trump about whether, hey, you know, have you given your life to Jesus or something like that? And Trump would give the most hilarious Trump answer ever. Trump's answer to that would be, I do very well with the evangelicals. But what was he doing? What's he doing? He's letting a huge part of his voting bloc know, you've got a friend in me. Even if I may not stand shoulder to shoulder with you and believe everything you believe, I'm not your enemy. You've got, and he says it loudly. Everyone gather around, pray over me. He says it without shame. He knows if I alienate them, I'm done. It's over. Because the voting bloc is too big. On the flip side, if you are a Democrat in the United States of America, whether you want to be governor of California, city council in Detroit, senator from Connecticut, whatever it may be, if you are a Democrat in America, you know that your voting bloc, they're a bunch of communist revolutionaries. You know it. They are street animals, and you know it. And so you know the best way to get in their good graces is to act like you're at danger the way they're in danger. To act like you're fighting the man the way they're fighting the man. That's why, this is Senator Chris Murphy.
I mean, my first message is to keep it peaceful. I mean, obviously, this is a moment where we have to be on the streets all over the country to protest what's happening to our immigrant community, but more broadly to protest.
We have to be on the streets. Remember that Minnesota state rep who said she was an illegal? Caught a bunch of heat for it? Now she comes out and says, well, hold on a second. No, I'm not. Well, why would you claim to be? What a stupid, weird thing to claim. Why would you get up there and announce that you're an illegal? Because she's sending a message to the Democrat constituents who elect Democrats. I'm one of you. Why is Gavin Newsom trying everything in his power to get arrested?
And this is why I told the president, just get it over with. Arrest me. Move on. If you need some head to scalp, do it with me, but stop messing with these kids.
It has nothing to do with the kids or the riots. It definitely doesn't have to do with anything. It doesn't have anything to do with California. Gavin Newsom is running for president in the year 2028. Gavin Newsom's trying to get some silver handcuffs slapped on him because Gavin Newsom knows that would make him the Democrat nominee in 2028. Because the savages that make up the Democrat base now in this country hasn't always been this way, but they don't even go for blue collar guy or anything like that anymore. It's all LGBTQ freaks and feminists and whatnot. And the best way into those people's hearts is getting yourself arrested, acting like an animal on camera. Every single elected Democrat in this country knows what I just said is true. And that's why they all talk and act like this. All of them either are former revolutionaries or at least know they have to speak the language of the revolutionary. Every single one without exception. What a sad state of affairs for Democrats in this country. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse, golf is for sissies. He said this about my work trip where I was working last week. Okay. I don't know about the whole golf is for sissies thing. I've had a lot of fun golfing. You can think that. You can not think that. It doesn't matter to me. But here's what I do know. You need to learn how to golf. And it's not as important as teaching your kids how to swim. That's a basic. In my opinion, making sure your children are able to function on the golf course is helping their careers. What, Chris? What? Chris said, how good? I can triple bogey every hole. That's fine. Oh, that's totally fine. I don't mean you have to be at all good. I'm horrible. Horrible. I bet you if I went out and shot 18 holes, I guarantee you I would shoot over 100. No, you don't have to be good at all. Be functional. And the reason you have to be functional is that's where business is still done. And you can, the world has changed. I just experienced it last week. I'm out there. I'm by far the poorest guy in the entire golf group, and I'm just watching deals be made, deals be closed. So I guess we could do this. We'll do that. You know what? Text me his number. Hey, let's get this done on the 13th hole. That's where wealthy businessmen do business, on the golf course. If you're the guy who says, I can't, I don't know how, you're back in the clubhouse while they're putting in work. Learn the basics. You don't have to be good. I suck. I lost more balls than everyone else in my foursome combined. You don't have to be good. You have to function. And you have to have pure talk. No, seriously, listen. I actually have something that you may want to participate in. You know how I told you pure talk? They're giving out allegiance flags. They're American flags that are made in America. Pure Talk's big on that, obviously. They're giving them out to veterans. They want to hand these out to veterans. They're trying to give out 1,000 by Independence Day. Do you have a veteran you'd like to have an allegiance flag on in their hands from Pure Talk? You can nominate someone. All right, here's what you need to do. You can nominate someone. PureTalk.com/nominate. That's the website. Do you have a veteran who you would like to see honored with a free allegiance flag from Pure Talk? PureTalk.com/nominate. While Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, they're celebrating Pride Month, Pure Talk's handing out American flags to vets. Which mobile company do you think you should have? By the way, same service, same 5G network. PureTalk.com/nominate. All right? And switch to Pure Talk. Tonight, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do some of these right now. Jesse, with everything going on and the left on their back foot, why do Republicans continue everything in their power to shift the narrative back away from the disaster that the Democrat Party is? Josh Hawley is introducing a bill to raise the federal minimum wage to $15. It's not going to pass, nor should it. Why give them ammo? Well, first, let's go ahead and be crystal clear. This is so stupid, it's staggering. A $15 minimum wage, the minimum wage should be zero. You should be paid what you're worth. $15 minimum wage is dumb when Democrats propose it. It's dumb when Republicans propose it. And look, this is the problem let me see how I want to put this here. Populism can be wonderful and it can be disastrous. And here's why. Because you're always chasing what's popular. And sometimes what's popular, it's good. What's popular? What's a good populist issue right now? American manufacturing. Americans have watched their jobs be handed to foreigners. They've watched mills, factories go overseas. They've watched foreigners be imported. And Americans are correctly upset about that, and they want American manufacturing to start again. They want American jobs here, good blue-collar manufacturing jobs right here in America. That is an issue that is popular, and populists will grab that issue and say, yeah, bring them back. That's good. That's an example of populism working. The problem is, when you're always chasing what's popular, when it's always populism, well, sometimes you chase a lot of really stupid things. There can be all kinds of things that are popular with 51% of the population. It's really freaking dumb. If there are enough people in this country that think $15 minimum wage is a good thing, if that's popular, well, we're in bad enough trouble. If we then get politicians who pretend as if it's popular and in any way practical, well, then we're in dire, dire straits. That's a dumb idea, a completely dumb idea. And for just in case you're not aware, I realize everybody probably is, but maybe you're not aware, the second you raise the minimum wage, what you do is what? What? All these minimum wage jobs. You force them to pay the minimum wage worker more. But Taco Bell can't wake up one day and go from paying the quesadilla guy $8 an hour to $15 an hour without doing one of two things, usually both, raising up the prices and or firing somebody. Maybe lots of somebodies. They keep trying this in all the lib states. California did the same thing. Hey, we did $25 minimum wage. They need a living wage. Oh, wait a minute. A bunch of people got fired? How'd that happen? It's dumb. Let's stop being dumb. Tired of dumb. Jesse the Vest Kelly. As a nicknamed mobster yourself, you seem to have the best comment on the thought I had. Why couldn't Bondi Cash and Bongino present a RICO case against the communist group, so on and so forth? Also, thoughts to the family after losing your father. I love the show. Look, we touched on this earlier. And by the way, if you missed our interview with Steve Friend last hour, that's probably worth listening to. I asked him point blank about the RICO stuff and how could we do this? Is it possible? Is this just some kind of pipe dream where we can go after these groups, or is it actually doable? It is doable. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, if you missed that interview. It is something that is doable, as I brought up before. It's just going to take time. Now, we have to start. And Kash Patel has announced that he's going to start. So that's a good thing, but it's going to take some time. Let's hope we can tackle it. Tackling the system, the finance system of communism, not just in America, globally, would probably be the greatest, most effective thing the right ever did when it came to combating communism. Because as we've always discussed, these groups are all funded, well-funded, organized, huge amounts of money, and oftentimes they are funded with your money because Democrats get elected and they do one of two things: reward their friends or punish their enemies. The state or the city or the country never crosses their mind. None of those things. Those are childish things to these people because they're all a bunch of demons. They get elected and immediately their eyes get big as saucers and they practically start drooling as they look at the public treasury and they think to themselves, wow, how can I get my hands on that? And more importantly, how can I get my hands on that public treasury and give that money to all my political allies? Surely they need a grant. That's what I'll do. I'll do a grant. This nonprofit, I love that term, this nonprofit, they surely need some government money. Oh, did they bring a bunch of illegals? Whoopsie. That's immediately what they think. But there's one other thing they think. It wasn't just reward your friends. Communists get elected and believe in using power to punish their enemies. And we just had another article come out about this from my buddy Jerry Dunleavy about the Biden administration. In fact, there's a couple articles out there revealing what I just said to be true. We see example after example of it. We'll talk about that next.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
This is Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House and a proud American citizen. I'm celebrating America's 250th birthday on my podcast, Newt's World, with 15 special episodes. And I've got some great guests: Walter Isaacson, Jonathan Turley, Brett Baer.
I will be working because it's a big, big day. I'll be in Washington and have all kinds of coverage through the day of America 250.
Rachel Campos Duffy.
There's nothing like American music. We're the home of rock and roll. We're the home of rap. We're the home of pop music.
Eric Metaxas. Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
The story of the national anthem and the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Join me, and let's celebrate America's 250. Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. All right, let's dig into this here. As you know, then none of this stuff, let me go ahead and get this out of the way. None of this stuff is going to blow you away in shock. If you're someone who pays attention, and very clearly you are, you're going to hear this and you're going to, yeah, I know. I saw it coming. But I wanted to again describe how the communist sees power. Because this is something that you and he don't share at all. You, at least I hope, you believe that power should be used to help people, protect people, serve people. If you are elected president, let's just go with the height of power. If I was to give you the job of president, you probably see yourself as using it to help America. Serve America, protect America, not go after your enemies, not reward your friends. Power being restrained, you restraining yourself from using it. You could do this. You could do that. You could be Joe Biden lining up business deals because you're the vice president. But you, because of your moral code, think that's evil. I gotcha. I'm glad you think like that. I agree. But again, we have to understand the communist thinks that's ridiculous. He doesn't think like that at all. You get power to use it against your enemies and reward your friends. Former Lois Lerner deputy involved in Obama-era IRS scandal that targeted conservatives leads a major IRS division under Trump. Holly Paz is her name. You do remember the whole IRS scandal under Barack Obama. Barack Obama, because he is one of the OG America-hating communists. He is the first American president. I think you could probably argue the only American president we have ever had who really, it's genuine for him, a real hatred of the place. And Barack Obama, a trained communist, trained by other communists like Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis actually had a communist number. He is a communist, registered. He helped mentor Barack Obama in communist activism, communist subversion. And Barack Obama would have learned from Frank Marshall Davis and others, not what you would do with power. For Barack Obama, power is only achieved to use it. It's the only point in going after it. Barack Obama got power and told his IRS, go after my political opponents, smash them. And they did. And one of the people involved in that still works in the IRS to this day. Headline, former FBI agent advised Schiff, that would be Adam Schiff, amid Russiagate, now he may be opposing Trump from within the FAA. These people are throughout the government. They move from one area to the other area. But what are they first? Is he an FBI agent first? Is he an FAA official first? No, he's a communist first. They are buried everywhere and they believe in using power. Oh, And finally, to the story from Jerry Dunleavy from Just the News. Biden administration used January 6th to artificially inflate domestic terrorist threat, declassified intel shows. It's exactly what we've talked about on this show. It's exactly what you suspected it was. Whether or not the government intentionally caused January 6th, which is what I believe it was their operation, or whether or not the government decided to use January 6th as a justification for what they did, none of that matters. What does matter is after that, the United States federal government, and more specifically, the communists inside of the federal government, used January 6th to justify sending America's government forces after their political opponents. The Democrat Party bent over backwards to classify every Republican as a domestic terrorist or a potential domestic terrorist. If you go to church, you might be a domestic terrorist. If you're yelling at a school board meeting, you might be a domestic terrorist. If you're any of these domestic terrorists, the largest domestic terrorist threat. Why were they doing that? They even got Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, sitting in front of the House or Senate. I forget which one it was. The largest domestic terrorist threat is from white supremacy. Why did they go with that line over and over and over and over and over again? When everybody knew it wasn't true, it was all done as a justification to do what communists have always done: take government guns and use the government guns against their political opponents. It's what they always do. And our communists are no different. And if you think they are, you are in for quite a surprise. Let's do some emails. Hey, Jesse. I'm always listening to you talk about how these commie universities make young women miserable, and they in turn make your sons miserable humans. Well, a year ago, my son moved down to California with his university, with his girlfriend, with his graduate girlfriend. It took under a year for it to come to a head, and my wife and I were in our vehicle Saturday morning, driving 7 hours to move him into another situation so he can finish his certifications as a Euro car mechanic and then back Sunday to work today. I am the happiest, most tired individual on the planet, and the only spoil of war was a puppy and not a grandkid with this animal. I'll spare you the details, but it's the exact scenario you talk about. Love your show and your humorous delivery. I quote you often and take full credit for your takes. Ha ha ha. Just kidding. I don't. No, seriously, I do. Good. You should. Remember, like I always remind you, universities, they specialize in young women, in taking the wonderful motherly nature of young women, taking the desire of young women to be accepted by those around them. They take all these things and they twist it and manipulate it and they destroy your daughter. Women become communists when they go to college and vice versa, or on the flip side, not vice versa. On the flip side, young men, sometimes they will in college, sometimes they won't. Young men become communists when they marry one. Young women become communists in college. Young men become communists when they marry one. We have a rule in my house for my sons. And of course, they have all the freedom in the world to defy me one day. I'm not a tyrant. They have their own lives. They'll live their own lives. But the rule still remains. You're not allowed to bring home a Democrat. Ever. And I don't even say that for partisan reasons, believe it or not. I don't say that because I'm me. I say that because I love my boys, and I have watched friend after colleague after acquaintance after relative have his life and his happiness destroyed because he married some communist hag, and she slowly but surely twisted him and broke him, and soon he's a shell of a man who won't visit his family at Christmas time because they're unvaxxed. And his witch hag wife was behind all of it. You can bring home anybody you want, son. Not here to give you a list of a long list of rules. There is one rule in the Kelly household. Don't bring home a Democrat. Look, you can date one. You can marry one. Your freedom. She's not welcome inside of my home. Period. Don't ask. She's not welcome. Period. Another email. Hey, Jesse. You owe producer Chris an apology for disparaging meatloaf. Meatloaf is as American as apple pie. Not to brag, but my meatloaf wrapped in bacon and cooked on a charcoal grill is a much sought-after delicacy. Yes, I use my IQ sense. People like you would ask how long I cook it. I always reply, till it's done. Okay, I need to correct you on a couple things, sir. First, I wouldn't ask how long you cook it because you use an IQ sense. The IQ sense is sitting there in the meatloaf. Let's not act like you're some kind of a genius to know when to pull off the meatloaf. Your phone tells you when to pull off the meatloaf. That's the beauty of IQ sense. Available, by the way, at chefiq.com. Code Jesse saves you 50%. 15%, not 50. That'd be wild. chefiq.com. Code Jesse. That's one. Two, don't defend meatloaf because you wrap it in bacon. You can wrap anything in bacon and have it taste good. How's your meatloaf without the bacon? No, it's not delicious, Chris. No, it's not. Meatloaf is garbage. IQ sense, it may make it right, but it can't change the flavor. All right? ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. I should let you know, obviously, I know you've been sitting around waiting and wondering. I did break the fast. I don't want you to call me a hero, all right? I went from about 10 o'clock last night to 6, 7 o'clock today without any food at all, just some coffee and a protein shake. That's it. I don't want you to call me a hero. There are heroes out there. I did what I did just because I'm trying to be healthier and trying to do the right thing. I'm just a man who did what he had to do, right? Did what, Chris? I'm trying to explain my mentality. And yes, I broke the fast in the way that only we can here. We had cheesesteaks, fries, some mozzie sticks. We did get some Southwestern Ranch to dip the mozzie sticks in, and it was pretty good. The fast, it was a real fast, Chris. It was a real fast. Stop saying that. One protein shake doesn't break the fast, okay? Anyway, let's do some more emails. Hey, Jesse, how do you think the Doge dynamic was changed when Ramaswamy didn't stay involved? I think the power was weakened. Okay. All right, let me get this out of the way. And I know there are lots of Vivek lovers and Vivek haters. I've already told you my thoughts, so I don't need to go into it again. But whether you're a lover or a hater, you know he was always using that to go to higher office, right? And I'm not, look, you can love him or hate him for it, but please tell me that was obvious to you. When you found out he was leaving Doge to go run for governor, were you shocked? I told you all that stuff was going to happen. I told you. He was either going to hang on and run for president in 2028 or run for governor of Ohio and then run for president. It was always an ambitious struggle. We'll put it to you that way. How did it change? Well, look, I'll tell you this. Elon Musk and Vivek did not necessarily get along all that well. Elon didn't think Vivek was as committed to cutting all this stuff as he was to promotional activities, if you will. So, look, those two types of guys, they seem similar. They're different types of guys with different types of goals. All right, I'll just leave it at that. Dear King Giant Hands, I am 2 months sober today. How about that? It's like my mind and body have been freed, sitting on my patio with the wife, listening to some great American music. I wanted to say thank you for the part you played in freeing me. I didn't do anything. You did it. You, your lovely bride, and the struggle. Are you struggling with something? Hooked on something? Drugs or booze or porn or whatever. The things human beings struggle with, all human beings. From time to time, human beings get hooked on things that are bad for them. Don't think that you're unique or weak. Keep struggling is all I'm going to say. Keep struggling. When you're struggling, you're winning. It's when you give up, that's when you've lost. Dear Little Hands, I was listening to the part of the show where you were talking about the rising commie knowing real men. Oh, this guy thinks it's going to be Fetterman. What I said was, I believe, or I'm afraid, that the Democrat Party will rise again, and they will rise again because there will be somebody, a Democrat, someone, who it will have to be a man, because Democrats have lost men, who will know how to speak the language of the common man. And he will know that he has to set aside all the endless tranny stuff. He's going to know what he can set aside and what he cannot set aside. And this guy thinks it might be Fetterman. Look, I could see it being somebody like Fetterman. I don't know that that's going to be the guy, but I could see it. It's going to take someone like that. I personally kind of hate that he wears a hoodie and shorts in the Senate, but I get the branding of it. That's right, Chris. That's the everyman. He's branding. I get what he's doing. You get what he's doing. We're not fools. Branding himself as the everyman. Look at me. I wear hoodies just like you wear hoodies. All that. So I get it, but I don't know that I'd say it's going to be Fetterman, but that's the exact type of guy I'm worried about. Somebody he'll buck his party from time to time. Someone who at least looks like he knows how to use a hammer, a saw. Someone who doesn't look, talk, or act like a Chris Murphy or Chuck Schumer or even Gavin Newsom. Somebody, exactly right, Chris. He can't be a Fagan. Remember Linda Fagan. Linda Fagan, when she's bragging about diversity, this, there are a lot of Fagans like that who still talk like that. Well, we have to diversify. Well, we have to get more. Have we hired enough women? There are that Fagan mentality goes through the Democrat Party. Fagan, Fagan, Fagan. It's going to have to be someone, even if he is a Fagan, he's going to know he has to talk like someone who's not. It's just a fact.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Mexican president threatens to mobilize against the law that could help cut off cash to the cartels. It's almost unreal how many different countries around the world apparently exist on our taxpayer dollars. And at the very mention that the taxpayer dollars may go away, that American money, because I realize this is taxpayer dollars, that American money may go away, they freak out and act like it's an act of war. Billions of dollars in remittances go back to Mexico, so much so that the Mexican economy relies on it. Gosh, that's probably not good. Biden administration surveilled Musk's contacts after buying Twitter. Remember that conversation we just had about how communists believe in using power? They saw a wealthy political opponent and use government power to figure out who he's meeting with. That's how evil these people are. All right. Say a prayer for Los Angeles tonight. Let's hope it's still there in the morning. That's all.
On Newsworld World Podcast, we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. And I ask my guests how they're spending their 4th of July. Brett Baer.
I will be working. I'll be in Washington because it's a big, big day.
Jared Isaacman.
I plan to be flying in an F-5 fighter jet painted in Freedom 250 colors, along with four other fighter jets flying over the nation's capital.
Listen to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.